peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. As we are continuing in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 2 this week, I want to begin by reading a little bit of that to you today. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may and please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Well, that's a wonderful section outlining gospel ministry, what the focus, what the outline of ministry is. And there we hear that God had equipped Timothy with the gift. The gift to preach the gospel, to be a pastor. But what is obviously coming out is that he didn't fully understand the ramifications of what ministry would be, and nobody really does. Not until you get your feet really into it. You step in from seminary and you think everything's going to go rosy. You have no idea of the magnitude of the warfare to which you've just been entrenched and enlisted. And Timothy must have been somewhat fearful. You know, he's young. Paul had to tell him, don't let them despise your youth. Many have recognized that he's not at the point of neglecting the gift, but of avoiding it when things got hard. And it's in this whole context that Paul is writing to him and outlining the main charge of this epistle. But initially he says, and we considered this yesterday, you have to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So there's a great responsibility in the ministry. You've got to be strong in grace. How so? Well, you've got to advance the things you've received. And that's one thing you just say up front. Ministry is not about the pastor's own personal ideas, stories, conjectures, stories about his own personal life, his family, the little quirky things he did last week. That's not what ministry is. Ministry is advancing the things that you've already received because you're bringing somebody else's message. That conviction is lost today. And that we are actually passing on that message and seeing that message advanced in the life of our people. Well, what things is Paul referring to? He's referring to the whole message of the cross. In fact, Paul describes this in verse 8 when he calls Timothy to share in the sufferings for the gospel, and then he describes the message he's been set apart for. He says in verse 9, "The gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." And then Paul goes on, "For this reason I suffer these things." Now, Timothy, you got to understand, I'm set apart to bring the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified, this good news, but it's for that very message that I suffer. How in the world could that be? You know? What that presupposes is that we're bringing a message of offense. You know, I often hear that. To get people in, we have to woo them and wow them and do whatever we can just to get them in. No, because if you get them in on false pretenses and premises, you got to hold them with those false things. Well, that's not going to work. Actually, the message is an offense itself because it confronts sinners where they are. It calls them to change. It says if they don't change, there are eternal consequences. And yet, then it provides the beautiful way of escape. And so after crushing with the law, you say, but wait, you don't have to walk that path. Here's the glorious gospel. Here's the way of a new life. And you preach Christ. You preach the message of the gospel. And a lot of people are going to get angry at that way of preaching. But we're getting at the core of the calling. You got to be strong in this message. Don't neglect it. And you have the responsibility to advance it and commit it to faithful men. That is your responsibility. So whatever office it is, you know, there are various offices in the church. Those three offices are the pastor, the elder, and the deacon. All of those offices bear witness to the message of the cross. The elders are advancing the gospel through giving themselves to word and prayer. The deacons through acts of mercy to show Christ's sacrificial work among us. The pastor in the preaching of the cross. And the churchgoer in his whole life diffusing the fragrance of Christ. Now, what you need to understand, what those serving need to understand, and this is what I really want to focus on the rest of the week. It's the heart of what Timothy struggled with here. And it's the heart of what every faithful pastor struggles with. Verse 3, listen, this is 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What a verse. I mean, it literally means to suffer hardship with. And one scholar translates it this way, you must be willing to take your share of the rough treatment. What in the world is he talking about? Well, we could put it this way. Because of all this blatant opposition to the truth and those who are defecting from it, and because of all the attacks of the devil, the warfare you're in, you have to engage in the hardship of advancing the gospel at all costs. Now, we don't think of serving in that way. We really have no idea of in the West of what suffering for Christ really means. I mean, come on, nor do we really take seriously the calling to engage in spiritual warfare. We have it too good here. And I'm not doubting that. That can be a wonderful blessing from the Lord, but often those blessings are turned into curses because we end up worshiping the blessings and lose sight of the fact that we're pilgrims set apart to a whole nother country. In spiritual warfare, battling for the very glory and message that God has set us apart to show and do. So we think of suffering primarily in physical terms. So we see Christians suffering in some third world country for the faith, suffering physical harm, maybe even death. And we pretty much feel disengaged from that. And so we chalk up these verses on suffering as just to those Christians in the third world countries. My bad news. Physical suffering is a result of what? People speaking out. Speaking out about what? Well, what they believe. About absolutes. About right and wrong. And calling people to stop sinning and repent of a lifestyle that is sinful to Christ and are called to embrace Jesus. God is not tolerant of every lifestyle. God is not tolerant of things that are against his law. I don't know where this comes from, but it's a lie of the devil. Might it be that we simply on all levels as individual Christians and as servants, we have disengaged ourselves from this calling to take our share of the rough treatment because we've been unwilling to speak the truth? Paul says you must endure hardship. That presupposes that if I want to be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to engage this. And it presupposes that I could make a choice not to, right? I mean, Paul spoke of this man named Demas, who was obviously an elder type figure in the church, who labored with Paul until things got rough and then abandoned his confession. And then we have this very sad outcome of the life of Demas recorded in 2 Timothy 4. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, that just says it all. All that is contrasted with the reality of what serving in Christ's kingdom is. And Paul says that right in the next chapter. Through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of heaven. Look, we have a really good example of this. And I want us all to think about, all the listeners say, think about this carefully. Why was John the Baptist beheaded? Remember what John did? John said to Herod, now Herod had unlawfully taken Herodias, Herod's brother's wife. They had obviously gotten a divorce, his brother and this woman Herodias, and they had divorced, and Herod had moved in and married her. The law of God spoke directly and condemned that divorce and remarriage. Now, John could have avoided this. John could have avoided saying anything about this, saying nothing. Outwardly, he would have kept the peace, peace at all costs. It wouldn't have stirred the pot. No one would have been bothered, except, of course, God, who says, don't fear him who can kill the body, but him who can kill the body and soul in hell. So John said what needed to be said. He said, Herod, you're sinning. You can't do that. And he took his share of the rough treatment. How so? Well, his head was put on a platter. This is the reason, my friends, Paul's writing to Timothy. Timothy, we're not given a spirit of fear. You can't fear in giving the message and doing what is right. In fact, Timothy, verse 9, for the message of Christ, he says, I'm suffering trouble as an evildoer to the point of chains. Paul says, look, I'm in jail, Timothy. I've been in jail for this message. What in the world brought that on? Engagement. Engagement in advancing and speaking God's truth when those in darkness hated it. Hated it. Hated Paul speaking about lifestyles and exposing lifestyles and speaking of sin and calling people to repentance and saying you must put your trust in Jesus alone. He's the only way, truth, and life. They didn't like that message. And yet Paul cared enough to give it because it was the only way of escape. That's what people have to understand. You may not like our message, but the ultimate heart of the Christian is that he loves the lost enough to tell them and to warn them. If he didn't, that's not love. You don't push someone off a cliff. You help them back. And we believe with all of our heart, the only way back is Jesus. The only way of salvation is Jesus. And that's why we preach him. That's why we preach him with conviction. And so that's the calling. And Paul is saying here, you've got to be willing to endure the hardship in doing this ministry, in preaching Christ faithfully. We're not using gimmicks. This message is foolishness, and yet it is the power of God to save those who believe. Continue, for in doing this, you will save those who hear you.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.